हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ओम शांति 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 हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम आफ्टर द एइथ मंत्र नाइन्थ मंत्र ऑनवर्ड्स टिल द 18th मंत्र 10 मंत्र एट द एंड ऑफ द उपनिषद कर्म योगः आर कर्म निष्ठा is discussed elaborately. Here the topic is changed. There is a shift from Jnana Yogaha to Karma Yogaha. Shift from the Nivritti Margaha to Pravritti Margaha. I told you last class itself, in chronological order, if we see, Karma Yogaha should be the first topic discussed. Jnana Yogaha must be the second topic. Because Karma Yogaha serves as a means, sadhanam, for Jnana Yogaha, which serves as a means for knowledge, which itself is mokshaha, the ultimate end. So without the sadhanam, without the means, the end cannot be accomplished. Therefore, Karma Yogaha must be the first topic, Jnana Yogaha must be the second topic, later topic. That's true, only it's chronologically it is like that. But if we see in terms of in importance, Jnana Yogaha comes first. Why? Because Jnana Yogaha is the direct means of Jnanam, and which itself is Mokshaha. And knowledge, the Moksha, the ultimate human end, the absolute human goal, being in the form of the very knowledge of the truth, knowledge becomes the ultimate end of human life. Therefore, knowledge, the Jnana Yogaha, which serves as a means of knowledge, becomes the primary topic. Therefore, Jnana Yogaha is discussed first in this Upanishad. The Karma Yogaha is discussed later on. But still, there is a shift here. Because completely the topic is changed, and Adishankara Bhagavatpada, before he enters into the actual unfoldment of the following mantras, he gives a very long introduction, I said. In that introduction, what he does? He explains the Pravritti Margaha and Nivritti Margaha with reference to the mantras from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Why does Shankara Bhagavatpada explains Pravritti Margaha and Nivritti Margaha with reference to the mantras of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, because Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is a commentary on Ishavasya Upanishad. I told you, Ishavasyam is a mantra Upanishad, Brihadaranyakam is a Brahmana Upanishad. A mantra Upanishad always presents the teaching briefly, and Brahmana Upanishad elaborates on what is briefly presented in mantra Upanishad. Which means always the Brahmana Upanishad serves as a commentary on the mantra Upanishads. Therefore, here, because it is only a commentary on the Ishavasya Upanishad, and here he quotes mantras from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, with reference to those mantras, he explains what is the Pravritti Margaha and Nivritti Margaha, Karma Yogaha and Jnana Yogaha. Here, if we see the mantras from 9th to 18th, what do we have? The first three mantras, 9th mantra, 10th mantra and 11th mantra, those three mantras discuss combining a ritual and meditation. Jnana Karma Samuchayaha, or you can say Vidya Karma Samuchayaha, or Karma Upasana Samuchayaha, which means the combining or synthesizing a ritual and meditation. That is a topic discussed in the first three mantras. The second topic we see, 12, 13 and 14. Upasana, combining two upasanas. The combination of two upasanas is discussed. So first is said, Karma Upasana Samuchayaha is the first topic. Then Upasana Dvaya Samuchayaha. Samuchayaha is a word which means synthesis, combination. Later on, 15, 16, 17, 18, in four mantras, there is a prayer for accomplishing the higher gatis, higher positions, in terms of attaining higher lokas. It's called Gati Prarthana. So if you ask, these are the three topics discussed. So Karma Upasana Samuchayaha, Upasana Dvaya Samuchayaha, then Gati Prarthana. There are three topics mainly discussed in all this rest of the mantras. So, if you say it's only karma, whether it's a performance of Vedic ritual or practice of meditation prescribed in the Upanishad itself, even if it is, Upasanam is what? A mental activity. Ritual is what? Physical ritual, performance of ritual involves physical oral activities. Whether you combine the physically performed ritual with the oral chanting of mantras and a mental activity of meditation, still it's only karma, it's only action. There's no knowledge involved. Even if you practice two meditations, combine two meditations for some results also, still only mental activity. And then who's the one who can pray for gati, good gati? Good gati means what? Shastram talks about twofold gatis, like Krishna gatihi or Shukla gatihi. Krishna Gatihi means no traveling through a dark path or lunar path. Shukla Gatihi means traveling through a solar path or bright path. Gati. And traveling through these, whenever you hear the word travel, you can understand some end is to be reached. The end, what is to be, something to be reached, attained. What is to be achieved, reached, attained, is what, something newly attained. Anything newly attained will not last long, last forever. It must be time bound. Isn't it? Anything reached, anything gained, anything attained will not be there forever. It will be time bound. Therefore, definitely you are very clear. In Gati Prarthana does not mean, has nothing to do with moksha. Why? Moksha, the freedom is not at all something attained. Isn't it? Mokshaha is what? Freedom is from limitations, which is already there as limitlessness. So discovering the limitlessness, which is already there as one's own real nature, is in fact attainment of freedom from limitations, which is not attained. Attainment is only through knowledge. Attainment is in terms of knowing. Therefore, that is why moksha is eternal, not time bound, everlasting. It is not attained. It is attained in terms of knowledge. Therefore, it will not be lost. You will not lose it. It will be there forever. So we are interested in everlasting purushartha. We are not interested in time-bound purushartha, time-bound end. Therefore, gati prarthana itself implies what? Gati prarthana is only for people who are ignorant, isn't it? Who can pray for good gati? Who can pray for time-bound end? Even though it is something superior, something extraordinary, something very special and unique, definitely something very special, very different from what you have here. But still, it is only a time-bound end. So only an ignorant person, an ignorant people can pray for even time-bound ends, such as good gatis. Let me travel through gati. Why? Traveling through Shukla gati will take you to some higher loka after death. Because Upanishads, Shastram talks about all these higher lokas. By studying, by understanding, one may develop interest. One may have liking for enjoyment of higher pleasures in higher lokas. Then one can pray for, let me, after death, let me travel through this gati, so that let me go reach that place and let me enjoy the pleasures of that world. It is possible. But still, one thing we have to remember, anything you attain will be time bound, will not be everlasting. Anyway, so these are the three topics discussed. The last four verses discuss only the prayer for gati, shukla gati, gati prarthana. Then the synthesizing two meditations and thereby enjoying the benefit of that, practicing two meditations is also discussed there. And then first, combining the meditation with a ritual is discussed in the first, as a first topic. So there are three topics mainly covered in all the 10 mantras. Now you're going to see elaborately. So before even entering into these three topics, now you know, 9, 10, 11, discuss karma upasana samuchayaha. 12, 13, 14, no, 11, Upasana Dvaya Samuchayaha. The last four, 15, 16, 17, 18, discuss Gati Prarthana. Prayer for Gati.
What's Gati?
Gati means a path. Gati means a path.
A path.
A path. Gati also means destination. Okay. A different end to be reached is called Gati. There is an end, like suppose heaven. If Shastram talks about, listen to me completely then, okay, I'll talk. Suppose Shastram talks about heaven, etc. And heaven is a place you have to reach there. And to reach there, you have to travel through a given path. It's called Shukla Gatihi. Not talk about all those things. And to even to be able to travel through that gati, you need to have some punyam. You must have earned it by doing some special karma, special meditations, etc. And even if you do, you also pray for, you seek Bhagavan's grace also, apart from your own effort of, you know, making punyam required for going traveling through those paths, you also seek Bhagavan's grace. You pray for that. So, these are the topics discussed. But I said, and because there is a shift in the teaching, Shankara discusses, presents a commentary there. I told you already, it is Shankara Bhagavatpada who makes this clear division between Karma Yogaha and Jnana Yogaha. Now, in the whole Upanishad, he takes and he makes this division. Oh, see, first mantra discusses Jnana Yoga briefly. Second mantra discusses Karma Yoga briefly. Later on, third mantra onwards until the eighth mantra, there is elaboration of Jnana Yoga. And afterwards, rest of the mantras discuss elaborately Karma Yoga. This division of the Upanishad, now, as pravritti margaha, nivritti margaha, the whole teach, he presents the division of the Upanishads in the very beginning. And thereafter, he quotes this Brihadaranyaka mantra in order to explain what is pravritti margaha. Same karma yogaha and jnana yogaha or pravritti margaha or nivritti margaha, which are discussed in the very same Upanishad, how it is presented in Brihadaranyakam, does not talk about the whole chapter, but he mentions briefly, he presents that this difference. How does Brihadaranyakam present? Now, Brihadaranyakam is a big Upanishad. And then there, the first chapter, there is a fourth section and a fifth section. In these two sections, he beautifully explains the. It is discussed what is pravritti margaha that is presented. And in Brihadaranyakam, always the presents it in a story form. Some tells a story. Not so presents symbolically it explains things. There's a symbolic expression of certain things presented in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So there it is said the Jivatma. Now Jivaha. The individual self, the jivaha, is alone. And then it seems a story, okay? Story means what? It's only understanding. It's only symbolic presentation or something different, isn't it? Jivaha feels very lonely. And then once you feel lonely, means what? The feeling, the sense of being lonely itself is what? Expression of or symptom of the disease of ignorance. Then the Jivatma thinks, let me get married. Because I'm alone, I feel lonely, let me get married. And then let me make wealth also. And let me enjoy all material comforts. It seems, actually, it's only a story, isn't it? Then what happens? Jivatma has the body, mind, sense complex. This body, mind, sense complex is looked upon as the family of the jiva. Okay? The whole body, mind, sense complex is looked upon as the jiva's family. Mind is the body for the jiva. Don't get confused, huh? Who is the body for the jiva? This lonely jiva gets the body, which is the mind. Then speech becomes this jiva's wife. Mind is jiva's body. Speech becomes jiva's wife, jaya. Then pranas become the sons, putraha. Vag jaya bhavati, pranaha putraha bhavanti. Understand? Pranas become the sons. This is called what? Entry into the family. Entry into the family. Where jiva has wife and children. Then having entered into the family, now what happens? There is a desire. The jiva has a desire for long life. I want to live long, happily, with all forms of worldly material comforts. Now, identity is with what? Once you enter into the family, then Jiva associates itself with the family. Since identifies itself with the mind, the pranas and the vak. Once Jiva, having entered into this family with the family members, you know, the desire being there. Why there is desire? The very desire for long life, it is also what? Symptom of any desire for anything is also symptom of the disease of ignorance. Please be careful. I'm not saying you should not have desires. Okay? I'm only telling. So desire for long life, not only desire for long life, desire for the enjoyment of worldly material comforts and desire for performing actions, desire for doing that and this. This is there. Therefore, this ignorance is said to be avidya. Ignorance is known as avidya. In Sanskritam, we say avidya. Where there is avidya, and then avidya results in what? Ignorance results in kamaha, desire. And the desire results in karma. These three words, you have to remember. Avidya, kama, karma. Ignorance is uncreated, already there. And ignorance results in desires. Desires result in performance of actions. Avidya, kama, karma. So even for the one to have the status, to enjoy the status of being the performer, doer, also is possible only if there is desire and there is ignorance. Therefore, he enters into this family and thereby along with the family, now with the desires, Jiva becomes what? Now, Jiva becomes the performer, doer. Is it clear now? How Jiva becomes the doer? Why? Identity is with the mind, sense organs, pranas, body, isn't it? Therefore, the doership comes. And is avidya kama karma. Avidya kama karma means ignorance, desire, action. These three form what? Pravritti margaha. What does it mean? And in this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in the first chapter, fifth section, is a long section. It is called Saptanna Sarga Brahmanam. This avidya kama karma, this ignorance, the uncreated natural ignorance resulting in desire, and desire becoming the now impelling actions, and how it results in samsara, continuous life of now becoming. To help us understand, it says the Saptanna Sarga Brahmanam, in that Brahmanam, Upanishad presents it like this. Saptannam. Sapta means number 7. Anna means that which is consumed, that which is taken in is called annam, isn't it? Food. That literally it means anna means food. But here the annam implies anything that is experienced. An object of experience is called annam. Anubhoyamanam, anything which is experienced is implied by the word annam. Okay? You get it? So what are those 7 annams? It's beautiful presentation. First he talks about martyannam. Martyaha means human being. So martyannam means what? The food. Martyannam implies all forms of food that we eat. Like Shankara, vrihi, yavaha, godumaha, dhanyadi. No, vrihi, the rice, barley, no, all our grains, they all known as martyannam. the food that we human beings eat. Martyannam. Then, Devatannam. Devatannam means the food offered to Devatas. Food offered to Devatas means what? Devata, you all know by now, so many times I've been repeating, any and every natural phenomenon and which contributes for our well-being, no, functioning itself, is called Devata. I also explained every Devata, every phenomenon is manifestation of consciousness. Therefore, we call it Devata. So, here Devata, food offered to Devatas is called Devatannam. How do we offer food to Devatas? Only through performance of ritual. You can say through the act of worshipping. So, the act of worshipping in the form of performance of rituals and through which we offer food to Devatas in the form of oblations. Here I'm not going to explain what is worship. You all know what worship means. I don't want to go into the things. So here, Darsha Purnamasa Ahuti, Darsha Purnamasa Yajna Ahutihi means what? The fire ritual specially performed on Amavasya, New Moon Day, a ritual specially performed on Full Moon Day. The two rituals, two fire rituals, Yajnas, performed on New Moon Day and Full Moon Day are said to be Darsha Purnamasa. Purnamasa means full moon. Okay. Darsha Purnamasa Yajna. Okay. Ahutihi means oblation. Because we perform two rituals on two different days and you offer oblations into the fire and to Devatas. It's called Devatannam. So we have two Devatannams. So number one is Martyannam, two Devatannam. Martyannam is food generally eaten by human beings. And Devatannam means food offered to in the form of oblations, you know, into the fire. It's clear. Through the act of worshipping. I already explained to you, worship is a symbolic act of offering and through which we express our gratitude to Bhagavan in the form of Devatas, acknowledging their contribution for our well-being. Isn't it? That is called Yajna. You know that already very well. Yajna is a fire ritual. And a fire ritual is performed to offer oblations into the fire. When you offer oblations into the fire, the oblations are offered to Devatas. You are not giving directly, Devatas will come and receive it from you. It is a symbolic act of offering, isn't it? Which means you acknowledge, you know, gratefully, thoughtfully, so you offer oblations. So those two particular ahutis, oblations, offered, you know, through the yajna, performance of fire ritual, on Amavasya and Purnima, as it is, conform the two Devatanna Dvayam. Is it clear? Three are over. Third, Pashu Annam, Pashvannam. The word Pashu literally means animal, but here you can take it as cow. Pashvannam means what? the food that we get from cows, mainly milk. And you can add all those things, okay? Don't need to give a list of things we eat, okay? Don't say buttermilk and then fat-free, and then, you know, fat-full and 2%, 3%, butter, ghee and all those things. All included in one thing, milk. Pashvannam, milk. Three. So, totally four are over now. Now, what is fifth annam? Manaha is the fifth annam. It's not food, okay? But mind, manaha, mind. Mind also is said to be annam here. I'll explain to you why, okay? Now, next is what? Manaha. Then, afterwards, pranaha. Then we have walk. Manaha, pranaha, walk. Totally seven. Got it now? All these seven are said to be sattannam. Okay, sattannani. Seven annams. Don't say seven foods, okay? Yes, it just says seven enjoyable objects. Or objects of objects which can be experienced, enjoyed. Objects in the seven forms. Okay. And here the first two four, if you take the first two four, Martyannam, Devatannam, then Pashvannam. Here we have get four annams, because Devatannam two. No? These four are said to be sadhana annam. Sadhana annam means they serve as means of enjoyment, the attainment. Means of, they serve as these three, four annams, the four objects of enjoyment, serve as means of attainment. Therefore, they are said to be sadhana annam. The rest of the three, manaha, pranaha, vak, are said to be sadhya annams. The objects of experience which are attained. The first four serve as means of attainment. The last three serve, become what now? The objects are objects attained. So Upanishad, little diversity, it's what it means is, if a person lives his life performing actions as enjoined or as taught, enjoined by the Veda, the Vedic way of life, if he lives, he must be following Panchamaha Yajnas, which means the Martyannam and the Devatannam and also the Pashvannam. The three words imply here that if a person lives his life sharing the food. Suppose if he really feeds human beings, fellow human beings. Martyannam implies what? If a person, when he lives his life, he shares his food, he feeds his fellow beings. Don't need to go on everyday feed, no? But occasionally at least. Isn't it? If you share and then feeding. Because feeding is very important in the Vedic culture. That's why you can see, you know, Indian farms actually, when you really can really ask for food, or if you ask, if you go also, whatever they have, they'll give. Now feeding human beings. If you feed a lot of human beings, a lot of people, then you also feed, you also offer oblations, which means you felt grateful to devatas and thoughtfully acknowledging the contribution of devatas with all reverence. If you're also a worshipper, if you lived your life, a religious life, now expressing your gratitude to Bhagavan of devatas, offered oblations to devatas, not through performance of rituals. You have fed devatas, no, through this act of worshipping, performance of rituals. Then you also feed animals. People look out only dogs and cats. Okay, that is not pashvannam. With the word pashvannam literally means milk. What it implies is, if we also care for animals, we have people for animals, not only dogs and cats. No, in fact, bhuta yajna. We also feed animals and take care of them if we don't hurt them. Whether we look after them or not, if we don't hurt them, don't undo them. Like, you know, if we take care, then what now? As a result of that, if we live this life, sharing your food for other people and giving food to devatas performed through performance of rituals, and if you also don't hurt animals, look after them, feed the animals also, which means generally you live an eco-friendly life also, isn't it? You take care of, then as a result of this present punya karma, as a result, you would have earned lot of punyam, because you are feeding human beings, fellow human beings, if you're looking after animals, you also performed rituals through which you offered oblations, especially this Darshapurna Masa, yajnas, as a result of which you have accumulated, earned punyam, as a result of that punyam, next birth, you will have annam. You will have objects of enjoyment. What are those three? You will have healthy mind, a mind which can think correctly, understand things properly, isn't it? So healthy mind is the result. Then healthy body. Pranaha implies what? Manaha. Then healthy body. Also what? Very pleasant, sweet words. One will become a person of very sweet and pleasing words. You are a person of pleasing, sweet words means everybody will be attracted towards you. Isn't it? Not simply pleasing alone, it's also good, truthful. The speech also, truthful speech, at the same time, pleasant. Truth will not be unpleasant, isn't it? The pleasing, truthful, sweet words. One will have pleasing, truthful speech. So these three will be, you'll get next janma. Suppose, see, this janma, how healthy you are physically and how healthy you are mentally and how what's a person of what speech. Isn't it? These three determine your past life. So if we have any problems, we can understand, we don't need to blame anybody in the world. We have not earned enough punyam to enjoy good physical health, good mind, sweet words, good speech. That is why the first four are said to be sadhana annam. They serve as means of attainment. In this janma, isn't it? You do. Though the first sadhana annam stands for kartrutvam, doership. Sadhya annam stands for enjoyership, bhoktrutvam. You do this, later on you enjoy that. In one, no? If I do, suppose water I am going, doesn't matter whether I enjoy good health or good mind, you know, good physical body, healthy mind, whether I have this janma, whether in this janma, whether I am a person of sweet words or not, at least because of my good karma, this, no, in this janma, what I perform, how I live my life. This saptana, not just simply, you know, darshapurna masa, yajna ahuti, etc., or just feeding animals, etc., looking after animals, feeding people, just only upalakshanam, isn't it? Actually, it also means what? Living a righteous, clean life and following panchamaha yajnas. Caring for fellow beings, caring for animals, caring for, you know, even plants, acknowledging, seeing the significance of every life. Every life is as significant as your life. If you can see that, any life, even a mosquito's life, even though it hurts us, isn't it? Because no life is a cheap, isn't it? Of course, unless something comes and hurts me, to protect myself, I can defend myself, protect myself, I can hurt. Otherwise, I do not go out of the way to hurt anything. So this is the thing. If I live a righteous, eco-friendly, a conscious life of dharma, sharing whatever Bhagavan has given me, what I have earned through my own punyam, sharing means not only I consume, I also contribute. If I live a life of contribution, because living a life means consuming, consumption. Living a life implies consumption. So when you consume, you also equally contribute. Then that life is what now? Life, you contribute for balancing. Then as a result of which, in next janma, you have what? Good body, healthy mind, healthy pranas and healthy, no, speech. Healthy speech implies what? Isn't it? Sweet and pleasant, pleasing speech. Truthful speech. This is the, you can enjoy next janma. So here, this jiva, suppose, this avidya is there. Avidya kama karma. Ignorance is there. Because of ignorance, naturally desire is there. And naturally desire being there, actions are there. Once actions are performed in conformity with dharma, punyam. Not against dharma, papam. One, this is there, isn't it? And whatever punyam or papam you have accumulated, you have to be exhausting in the next janma. Suppose this will continue. So, first you are a karta. You are a karta, you are a performer. There you have identity, isn't it? When you perform ritual, when you give anything, whether you share, you do something, you look, do, there doership is there. Because of the identity, you first you have doership. Later on, enjoy also what now? You know, whether I have, my God, look at my health, I have enjoyed very bad health, then also your identity, isn't it? Oh, I have very good health, then also your identity. So then you have bhoktrutvam. Because of this ignorance, in saptanna, sarga brahmanam, what is implied is, you have doership, you also have enjoyership. Kartrutvam is there, Bhoktrutvam is there. There's a very strong notion of the self, oneself being the doer and also being the enjoyer. So again, what happens? Again, next Janma comes, isn't it? Again, you have again Saptanna Sarga. Suppose you first four sadhana annams. In sadhana annams, you have doership. Then, later on, bhogya, what is bhogya vastu? Later on, what to enjoy is what? No, sadhya annam. No, that is jiva srishti. You are the creator of your own destiny. Why bad health? Why not healthy body? Why not healthy mind? Why, no, why problems with what I'm enjoying here? Okay, my own, what I did before, that is, I have not earned punyam. That has come back, isn't it? Which means, this is the kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam being there. It continues, isn't it? It continues to come. So again, once you have this, you exhaust the punyam again. Then parabdha ends, again you come back. If a person, it will continue to be there. Okay, this is called pravritti margaha. One will continue to be in samsaraha. So pravritti margaha, this is called pravritti margaha. But if from the pravritti margaha, if you can enter into, uplift yourself to nivritti margaha, from karma yoga you can move on to jnana yoga, then you can become free from samsara. As long as you remain in pravritti marga, you are not moving on to jnana yoga. There is no way of straight away entering into nivritti marga. There is no way straight away entering into jnana yoga. You have to go through pravritti marga, but we should be prudent enough not to get stuck there itself. You have to move on to jnana yoga, nivritti marga. Is it clear? Get what I am saying? So this is what is, this is how pravritti marga is presented there. That one, through this small. A story like thing. Therefore, who is this? Who is the? Who is this person? An ajnani will be a karmanishtaha. So why here Shastram prescribes this karma yoga itself later on? So the person who is ignorant of the self and who is ignorant of his ignorance and who is ignorant of the fact that ignorance is the root cause of all his problems in life, such an ignorant person naturally will be inclined for what now? Only naturally will have desires, naturally will feel lonely, naturally will feel insecure, and naturally would like to have a secure, comfortable life. Very natural. And therefore, being inclined for this naturally, he'll be involved in performing actions. Once the disease come, only you have to be doing actions. Once you do karma means helplessly you will be accumulating punya papa. Once punya papas will be there, I mean they have to be exhausted. Once a punya papa, and then for exhausting punya papam you will be born again. No, this is how samsara continues. Samsara will continue. Suppose that the person is not aware of the fact that ignorance is the root cause of all my problems, then it is natural for him not to be inclined for jnanam. And even if the person knows ignorance being the root cause of all his problems in life, if he is not prepared for jnanam also, he won't be that quickly inclined for jnanam. For such a person, really Shruti has to do something. You know, however adamant, crooked or disobeying, non-cooperative the child is, parents have to do something, mother has to do something. Something the mother has to do, accommodate, put up with, somehow doing something, you know, help the child, bring the child to the right track. Somehow. That is mother. So Shruti also does the same thing. For this person who is ignorant by birth, naturally ignorant, ignorant of the self, ignorant of his ignorance of his self, and ignorant of the fact that ignorance is the root cause of all the problems in life. And even if there's some knowledge that it is ignorance is the root cause of all his problems also, this person is not at all qualified for knowledge, not prepared, not ready for knowledge, and adequately disciplined. How to help this person? Somehow this person also has to be uplifted, elevated. Now what to do? No, then Shruti says, Kurvaneva iha karmani. Okay? It's very natural for you to have desire for long life. Natural. Please have the desire. Enjoy. Fulfill all your desires, no problem. But what now? Karmani kurvaneva. Jijivishet. Okay? Performing. What needs to be performed, what needs to be done, avoiding what should be avoided, and may you live your life having this desire for life, doing what needs to be done, avoiding what should be avoided. That's why this karma yoga, isn't that's why karma yoga is also presented. Okay, then how the Jnana Yoga is presented in Brihadaranyakam. See there, if a person, there it is said, to explain what is Nivritti Margaha, he says this. If a person has sons, and he raises them well, raises the son well, looks after them well, looks after his son properly, and teaches him all good values. And thereby, as a result, after this person passes away, even the son will do tarpanam. Is it? Well, shraddham. Apara karma also, the son will do for the father or grandfather. Is it? A good son. Why good son? Because he does, you know, he thinks of his father even after he died. And throughout, he offers. If a person had such a son, the father who looked after his son well, who raised his son well, is supposed to get again a human birth in next life. To have Manushya Loka, to come back into a human in this human world, to be born as a human being again, which means you can avoid being born again as a, suppose, cockroach or a mouse or rat or a tiger or an elephant. You can avoid all other births. Assuming a human body, again you can be born a human being. If you have to be born a human being, you need some punyam. And what that punyam, how can you earn? By having a good, by raising, by being a good father to your son in one janma. Again, next janma, you can become a human being again. This one, don't seek to be born a human being, only you have to look after son well. See, looking after one's son properly, raising him properly, making him learn the values, you know, implies lots of things. You just don't think only looking after son, okay? Okay, I look at only my son, not that way. To look after son means teaching him value, you have to live yourself values. You must be earning. You must be looking after, caring. You must be dutiful. So unless you set an example for your son, you cannot make your son a good child. So it's not simply making a son, making my son really, my son, I feel so proud of my son, means for you to be able to say that, he must be such a person, and for him to be what he is, for you to feel proud of your son, you must set an example for him to become such a son. So it implies you must be a highly righteous person also, not just simply being a father, isn't it? You must have a lot of good punyam and to be born a human being. A lot of punyam one must have. That's what he said. So manushya lokaha, isn't it? Putrena manushya loka praptihi. By living a clean, righteous life, by setting example, so one who really makes his, sometimes the father, dads may be bad, chances the sons are good, or so only in movies we come across like that, isn't it? We'll see all those stories. But generally I'm saying, generally in Vedic culture, the children are very good, mean they say, oh, my parents. The daughter is very good, mean they'll say, oh, your mother is very good. They always say, no? Thai pola seela, thai pola? Nola pola seela, something they say. Yeah, no, the mother is, no, the sari is in keeping with the texture of the yarn. 100 count means 100 count, isn't it? Less means less. Like that. So like a mother is good, means the daughter also is, mother is civilized and good and clean woman, daughter also is like that. So like that they say. I'm not saying all the, just general rule, okay? Don't take it seriously. So what I'm saying, so he said for manushya loka, to be born a human being again, what punyam you need if you had a good son? Means that having a good son, a righteous person, and who even does raddham for you after you pass, who will do raddham for you after you pass away, such a person will have again the human body. Then putrena manushya loka prapti. Then karmana, if we perform fire rituals as an act of offering, as worship, thereby if we please the devatas, no, the devatas, as a result of which you can have pitrulokaha, the higher loka. So manushya loka, pitruloka. Karmana pitrulokaha, putrena manushyalokaha. Then if you also practice meditations, some specific meditations, upasanena devalokaha or brahmalokaha. Three lokas, okay? Manushyaloka, pitruloka, devaloka. What punyam you need to go to devaloka? You must have more punyam, which means you also must have practiced some meditation, which is a mental activity. You must perform some special rituals, you know, to go to the world of manes. It's a higher loka, different from the human. We don't know those lokas, okay? Shastram talks about those lokas. then if you were a good father, you had a good son, and then if then you will definitely go become what now again you attain manushya loka. So putrena manushya lokaha, putra dwara manushya lokaha, putrena manushya lokaha, karmana pitrulokaha, karmana pitrulokaha, by performing a ritual, by act of worship. Then upas by meditation, upasanena, you have devalokaha. This shastram says, you can attain this world, this world, this world. Why I am telling all these things, you know that? I am preparing you for next verse of the verses. So these are the worlds. Suppose if there is a person who is not interested in any of these things, it's called, no, really the mature person, the who has gone through the pravritti marga, has lived a life of karma yoga, you know, thereby who has really discovered dispassion. You are not able to discover dispassion means you have not lived your life properly. Which means you have to be living again and again and again, you have to come back until you learn to live your life properly, you will be coming back. You will be in karma. Isn't it? You will learn. Some janma or other, you will learn. How to live my life properly, that itself you will learn. So if you learn, if you know how to, if you live your life properly, then definitely you would have learned. If you lived your life properly, you would have learned. If you live your life properly, definitely you will learn. What to learn? You will discover dispassion. You understand the limitations of everything. Naturally, you will become disinterested in everything. Others need not compel you. Others need not force you. Don't have desire for that. Give it up. No, not on compulsion, isn't it? Not because others compel me. I myself naturally become disinterested. One can become disinterested. That is question of how mature the person is. Therefore, he says, if you live your life properly, now if you live a life karma yoga, if even this pravritti margaha when you live, you know, so if the pravritti margaha dharma governed life, it helps you to discover dispassion, then naturally you will not be interested in manushya loka. You will not be interested in Pitruloka, you will not be interested in Devaloka also. What big Devaloka? I am not interested in Devaloka. Why? Devaloka is what? Any fruit of any action is Atma, Brahma. Any action is Atma. The law, any law which determines any fruit of action is Atma. The very action is Atma. The performer of action is Atma. Performer of action is also Atma. The action performed also is Atma. The fruit of action is Atma. The law which determines the fruit of action is Atma. The result of action, no, that enjoyed, also what of action, also everything is Atma, which means this is a fact if a person understands. Then this, after understanding this much through Shravanam Mananam, again will this person be interested in this, any of these lokas? He won't be interested. Then Brahma Loka, not interested. Why? Brahma Loka is Atma. Pitruloka is Atma. Manushya Loka is Atma. There is no Loka. There is no object of experience. There is no object which can be enjoyed, which is other than Atma. This is a fact. With working very hard, you have to go all the way to... Now, you don't need to go anywhere, don't need to travel anywhere. Isn't it? If this understanding comes, then naturally this person will grow, would have lost interest in any of these lokas. Manushya loka, I'm not interested in. Pitru loka, I'm not interested in. I'm not interested in Devaloka. I'm not interested in any heaven. I don't want to go to heaven. With heaven, you don't want to go? I don't want heaven. You will miss all best. Ramba, Urvasi's dances, Gandharva's singing music programs, free concerts, not tickets. You will say no, like our Anuj. No. Strictly you will say no, if you are mature. Shastram, no, I am not saying all these things, okay? In Brihadaranyaka, I am just, based on what I am saying, all these lokas, if you are not interested, means, then you will not be interested in upasana. You are not interested in that result, Brahmaloka. You know the limitation of it. You know it is only temporary moksha, it is not moksha. You know what Brahmaloka is, you will not be interested. If you are not interested in the end, then you will not be interested in the means also. So you will not be interested in meditation anymore. You are not interested in Pitraloka, world of means, even though beautiful descriptions are available, even though all advertisements, in spite of very colorful, attempting at advertisements also, still you have that, you have certain mastery that you go and come back. Go through IKEA, but still you don't care for anything, you come back with it buying. Even though you have money in your pocket. Why? Because you are not interested. So Pitraloka also, you say no, therefore you will not. Then why should you be interested in karma, ritual? Yajna, yagadi, isn't it? So karma also will be, I'm not saying you should not do karma. I'm not talking about the mature person. Okay, the next person. So only for such a person. So I'm interested in enjoyment, but I don't want to do karma means problem. Understand? That's what you have to understand. If you are not interested in Pitraloka, okay, then no problem, you don't need to do any karma. Then, I'm not interested in Manushya Loka also. Then I don't care for, I'm not really interested in children also. It's called what now? Putraishana, Vittaishana, Lokaishana, all these Aishana Trayatyaga, isn't it? This person has grown out of desire for all the means and all the ends. Once you know what is the means, what end you can accomplish, you know the limitation of the end. Hey, this is what the end you can get means what? Naturally, you won't be interested in the end. Once you are not interested in the end means, why should you be bothered about the means? You won't be interested. This is called growing out of desire for means and the ends. So you don't need karma, physical activities. I'm not talking physical, generally specific rituals. You don't need the upasanam. You don't need even, look at meditation also we're talking about, okay? Shastram says, for a mumukshu jignyasu meditation is not required. You can practice meditation initially for disciplining your mind. You can use the karma or upasanam as a discipline to prepare your mind for jnanam later on, for contemplation. But if you get stuck with the very end, meditation, if you take meditation as an end in itself, the experience you gain as a result of meditation, if you take it as the result you can gain as a result of the meditation as an end in itself, then it's a big problem. Is it clear now? For this person who knows the limitations of these three ends, Manushaloka, Pitruloka, Devaloka, naturally will be disinterested in what now? Putra. Now Putra, he will be disinterested in children, disinterested. He won't be interested in karma, he won't be interested in upasana. Such a person, you are not interested in any of these means, any of these ends, then what are you interested? What do you want? I want only moksha samrajyam. I want only atma samrajyam. I want only the self. I want myself. Why do you want yourself? I want myself means what? All that I need is I just want to be myself. Understand? That desire comes for such a person, for such a viveki, such a mature person, who is not simply given up, okay? It's called growing out, not giving up. Out of frustration you can give up. Because of laziness you can give up. Because of incapability you can give up. Isn't it? But you are not giving up here. Growing out. That's not overnight, isn't it? Which means one must have gone through pravritti margaha properly. That only then that the one that maturity one has attained. How? By having right understanding. And to have right understanding means appreciation of things, what is, okay? That a right understanding of things in life, which means he has the right understanding one can have only if he has that sharpness. If he is brilliant, must be intelligent, for which he must have lived a clean life. By going through pravritti marga properly, a person, is intelligent. If you can understand the limitations of ends, can understand then thereby limitations of means to accomplish the ends means, he will be disinterested in the means themselves. For such a person, what else is there? Varenna panna mudiyum. What else can he do? Only Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam. Or Shravanam you might have done already, only Nididhyasanam. It's called Vidvat Sannyasa. Understand? For Vidvat Sannyasaha is prescribed for the person who already knows all that he needs is now ascertainment. So naturally he doesn't need to do anything. So Sannyasaha is prescribed for such a person. That is sannyasa. This nivritti margaha is prescribed for such a person. Suppose the person is aware of the fact, is a vidvat sannyasaha. He knows he needs to. For a person who knows, naturally he grows out of desire everything, isn't it? Only ascertainment vidvat sannyasa. But remaining as an ignorant person also, but still even for knowledge as a person, then still he can take to life sannyasa, then vidisha sannyasaha. So what can these two sannyasis do? Vidvat sannyasi or a vidisha sannyasi, what should they be doing? Either they must be studying shastram or they must be sharing their knowledge with others. All the time, mind is in shastra. That is, for such a sannyasi, definitely, there is no passion or desire for long life. There is no fear of death also. Desire for death also. I want to die tomorrow, or I want at least live for 10 or 15 years. At least such calculations are not there. It's a big difference, isn't it? how a pravritti margaha helps one grow, helps one discover dispassion, how pravritti margaha prepares one for nivritti margaha. Then how nivritti margaha also is not something to be scared, frightened of, isn't it? Beautiful. So this is nivritti margaha. This is what is pravritti margaha. This is what is nivritti margaha. These two are, we saw now, this what is actually these two, what is pravritti margaha, what is nivritti margaha, Shankara presents in his commentary, you know, but this with reference to Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. The whole thing is presented where? This the Kartrutvam and Bhoktrutvam, isn't it? First he presents that, then and it's a pravritti marga. So he connects all these things, avidya, kama, karma, and how it is through saptanna srishti, saptanna sarga brahmanam, where it's elaborately discussed. He presents these two. And later on, what is the most interesting topic for Adishankar Bhagavatpada is always condemning strictly, seriously, the very idea, very view of combining action with knowledge as a means of moksha. Knowledge alone is enough for moksha. You need not combine any action, not karma, not even upasana mental activity. Need not combine anything. Why do you want to combine? Because we always think, oh, I studied Shastram, I didn't Shravanam for 40-50 years I've been doing, but now I had to sit and meditate. Now I had to have some experience. This one, some people ask me, you've been doing Chandi, have you had any experience? Would you please tell us about some experience you had? Devi coming and talking to me, they were asking sometime. I said, what can I say? I'm not interested in experience, I just want to say. What experience? I'm seeing you all. That is the beautiful thing, beautiful experience I have. Which means people think I've had to do something afterwards. So Shankara condemns. Okay, after presenting this, pravritti margaha, nivritti margaha, with reference to Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in this briefly like this, next what he does in introductory bhashyam is the condemnation of jnana karma samuchyaha, synthesis of knowledge with karma, as a means of attainment of moksha. That he condemns. How he condemns, we'll see next class. Okay, if I do that, then I can take you to the 9th mantra. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. Next, I'll also tell you why wife is called Sahadharmacharini. I'll tell next time. Wife is said to be the follower of, no, the husband. Wife is supposed to follow the footprints of a husband, which means the husband is supposed to follow only dharma. Then she's supposed to follow the footprints. She is not following this form, physical form, the husband. She follows the person's mind, which is committed to dharma.